Reading this morning will be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 3 through 7. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. For love suffers and is kind. For love long suffers and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, but it is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not speak its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
It's good to see each one of you this morning. Y'all remember the song, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, and you yell out, where? Down in my heart. Then I think another verse, I try to think of them, I don't know all the verses, but one of them, I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. And you scream out, where? And you say it over and over again. You know, I was driving to Atwood this morning, I'm going to work on the, or check the water plant, and I had the radio on. I don't know what station, the old truck, the radio don't have lights on the radio. You don't ever know what station you own, but you can hear it. But either way, a gospel song come on, and it made me smile. It made me think of how happy we ought to be, and it made me think about the joy that we need to have in our heart and the love of Jesus that we need to have in our heart. So I want you to do something for me real quick. I don't want to disrupt services or anything, but first of all, I want you to put a smile on your face, and then I want you to turn to somebody. Turn and look at somebody and smile at them. Make a difference in someone's life. You know, do it. Go ahead. Monty, turn and grin at somebody. We're looking at you. There you go. Monty's grinning. All right, so we're happy and we're smiling, and we know that that's the kind of people we have to be. And this song I heard this morning, it said, "The world didn't give it to me, so the world can't take it away." You may know that song. I've never heard it before, but I liked it. I didn't hear all the words as I was going to Atwood, but the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. And it was talking about a smile. And I think that we can read into that and go further when we think about a smile. Not just smile, but happiness. And not just happiness, but love. And we can tie all that together, and no matter what's going on in our life, the world cannot take that away from us. Because we're different. We're set apart. We're a unique person. We're a peculiar people. The Bible tells us that over and over and over again. Because we are set apart. We're called out from among the world. We can smile in our lives, and we can be happy, and we can show that love that we know that we need to. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about love, and we're going to finish it next week, and we're going to wind it down next week with probably a difficult sermon, because we're going to talk about loving our enemies, and that's probably the hardest of everything that we talked about. How do I love my enemies? Well, this morning during this lesson, I want you to think about smiling. I look out and I say, Emily, you can't keep but smiling. What a blessing she is. You know, think about all the prayers, Emily, that's been prayed on your behalf. This congregation, I know I have. I know I've been to my knees praying, begging God. And now look over at her. You're going to smile. You're going to smile because God has answered our prayers. And that's why it's such a blessing to be a Christian. And that's why we can say the world can't take that away from us, because God did that. The world did not. God did. And that just puts a brightness about us, and that makes us glow just a little brighter as being lights for Christ. And that's the idea that I want us to think about this morning. You know, we think sometimes that life is hard, and it is, and we have obstacles that come our way, and we do, and we have disappointments that come our way, and we face those things. We have tragedies that come our way. We have death and sickness and pain and aches and diseases and all the different things that's here on this world, in this world that we live. We're going to face those things, but I think we can still be happy. We're not happy that those things are going on. We're not happy even as we read and we study in Peter that we count it a joy for these things. Or James, we count it a joy for these things. We're not happy that we're going through these things, but we're happy that we have God. We're happy that we have Christ. And in Luke chapter 18 and verse 27, it says, with God all things are possible. You know, David talks a lot, and he talked to me this last week. He told me I got to put it in a box. You know, if I remember anything about David, it's going to be the three boxes that he talks about. And I was talking to David, and I was struggling, and he was encouraging me and helping me. And he said, Tim, you got to put that in a box. And because it was just me and David talking, I'm going to tell y'all now so everybody's going to know. But just because it's me and David talking, I said, David, I put it in a box, but somebody keeps taking it back out of the box. You know, sometimes it's almost like you're fighting this jack-in-the-box, and you shove it back down in there, and somebody keeps cranking that handle, and it pops back out again. And I think, what am I going to do with this? But I'm going to remember David as that, is put these things in a box, because we can't limit God, because with God, all things are possible, and we can make a difference in other people's lives because of God helping us to make that difference. This congregation here, such a wonderful congregation, such a loving congregation, and we have got to continue to drive forward every day, making a difference in other people's lives. But how do we do that? How do we go out and say, I love you, and we show that love, and we know that God is with us, and that we can make a difference? You know, God demonstrated his love for all the world. We all know this, but in John chapter 3 and verse 16, God sent his son into the world. And he sent his son here, and he died on the cross for our sins. He was not returning good for good. He was not returning love for love there. He was returning love for evil or love for sin or however you want to word that. God showed us his love even though we didn't love him back. You ever thought about that? It's so easy to come in, and this last week I won. Steve Brasher and I, he used to ask me who won. Every time Wendy and I would have an anniversary or Valentine's Day or something, I wanted to be first. Second don't count. And the other day, on Valentine's Day, I woke up first. I wake up first most days. But I woke up first, and I woke her up. I went to shaking, Wendy. She woke up. What? I said, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. She said, oh, I love you too. I said, no, you don't. I had to say it first. You never would have remembered it. And I go through this spiel every time, and Steve David always got a kick out of that with me because I would challenge her, and I would always make sure I say it first. So when we think about the relationships, it's easy to say, I love you, when someone says, I love you, to you first. But listen, y'all, God didn't do that. God says, I love you even though you don't me. And I'm going to allow my son to die on a cross for your sins. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we had that blemish, even though we had that spot, even though we choose the world so many times, God still loves us. Three things I want us to think about this morning. As we go through this lesson, how do we demonstrate our love? And there's the three areas I want us to think about. First of all, to our fellow man, to our spouse and family, and to the church and the brethren. And one of the things we should wish to all people is that they can find a way to love. That they will have people to love. You know, we talk about sometimes how it's good for us to help others. And it is. It's good for us to go out when somebody is in need and we try to help that person. We feel good about helping someone. David said one time, "Don't take this opportunity away from me." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "The opportunity to help you." And I never really thought about that, but isn't that true? When we have an opportunity to help someone, it does a lot for us. Even though we're helping someone else, it helps us even more. Now, if you change gears there just a little bit and you think about, and this was a song up here in the pink part, but you think about the latter part of that, "I wish you love." Wouldn't it be great if everybody could love? That everybody could go back to the verse that we just talked about in John chapter 3 and verse 16, and that we could love people that much, that we would be willing to sacrifice for all those round about us. Who is it that we need to do good to or for? The Bible tells us we ought to be good and love our neighbors. Well, who's your neighbor? Your neighbor's anybody you have opportunity to do good for. So that pretty much sums it up. Everybody is our neighbor when we have opportunities that we can impact someone's life. Well, let's think for just a minute about the love for a fellow man. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. After the first commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." We talked about that last Sunday in our lesson. And here's the second one. You remember what the second one is? The second one is, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's a little hard, isn't it? Because when we think about loving ourselves, most all of us love ourselves to the point that we make sure that we're taken care of. That when we think about needs being met and we think about problems in our life, that we're going to deal with our problems. We're going to take care of our needs in our life. But when we think about the fellow man and the opportunity that we have to show and to demonstrate God's love, there are opportunities that come our way every day. I'm blessed with the crew that I work with every day in our hydrant business. I love working with Jacob and Jacob. They're positive, they're fun. They'll do anything you ask them. I can pick on them and they pick back at me. And it's just, we shouldn't get paid. Matter of fact, maybe we can talk them out of it. But the other day, Jacob Peavy House, and that's the problem with them too, is Jacob and Jacob, and you always got to clarify. Jacob Peavy House, now he's getting nervous because you know I'm talking about him. Other day, we went in a convenience store or somewhere, and he'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I went in and I started talking to this person. I think it was a woman, best I remember, but I went in and started talking to this woman, and he was just grinning. And on the way out, he said, "You're crazy." He said, "Did you know her?" I said, "Well, no, I didn't know who that woman was." He said, "Well, you talked to her like you did." I said, "You know, Jacob, you don't ever know. You go in there, and if a person will engage you in a conversation, and you're positive, and you smile, they may need that more than anything else. They may need somebody to come in there and say, 'How in the world are you doing today? Appreciate this. Did you cook this corn dog? That's the best corn dog I ever eat.'" Whatever it is, you're just talking to that person. And Dale, it's not long that person's smiling right back at you. And I try to do that. I don't always do it, but I try to do that. Go in and talk to people. Martin Luther King's quote here, I know everybody's read it by now. But think about what he's saying here. How it's going to help yourself and it's going to help our nation and a better place where we live when we learn to treat our fellow man the way that we should. What about our spouse? What about our family? You know, Paul laid it out for us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, at least for us men, folks. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. Now, men, that's talking about sacrifice. That's talking about taking ourselves and saying, I'm going to give my life for Wendy or Miss Shirley or whoever it is. I'm going to give my life for this person. Nothing except for God is going to be greater on my list than the sacrifice I'm going to make for my wife and my family. I would give it all away. I was talking to a man this last couple of days who's going through a hard time with a family member. About to lose a dear family member. Nearing the end of this person's life. And this person's having a hard time letting go. And they engaged a conversation with me and asked me, how do you do it? And I said, understand that you can't stop it. That's the first thing you got to do is understand you can't stop it. I said, I struggled with that. With Jay, I struggled day in and day out for 7 years trying to figure out a way to stop what was going on, and I couldn't stop it. And I said, learn to accept that this is part of life. And I said, I know it's easier said than done, but if you don't, it's going to drive you crazy. It's almost like a big truck rolling down a hill, and you're standing in front of it, and the only way you can stop this truck is put your hands up and try to push it, and your feet start sliding. You realize you're up against something you cannot stop. But you have to understand it's part of life. But here Paul's telling us that we love each other that much that we sacrifice everything for the well-being of our family. Titus 2 and verse 4 says that they may teach, talking to older women here, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. We need more love in our homes. We need more love in our families today. And I got here trained, and I wanted to give you a definition of that. To be trained to love means to be trained to do loving things. To be trained to love means to be trained to do loving things for other people, whether or not you even feel like doing them. You can say all day long, I love you. And I'm sure that everybody means it for the most part. But someone showing the love is greater than saying it. And the definition there, if we're going to train someone to love, then it has to involve doing those loving things that we need to be doing. Family love is learned by observation in a childhood. Our families need to dedicate our lives to loving. And then the last area I wanted us to talk about was the church and our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, let's look at verses 34 and verse 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Listen to verse 35. I love this verse. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. There's going to be no doubt that the world knows we're Christians. There's going to be no doubt that the world knows we're disciples, followers of Christ, if we have this love that Jesus is talking about here. Oh, how great it is to have a family, a church family that can come together and have true love for each other. 1 Peter 2 and verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Well, the question we started with was, how do we demonstrate our love? Let me ask you some questions. If you're hungry, what do you do? I get up out of bed and I go in the kitchen and I get me a spoon of peanut butter, or I'll get me something out of the refrigerator and get me something to eat. It's funny, when we go a few weeks without going to get groceries, I'll walk in there and I'll open the cabinets. I don't know if y'all ever do this or not, and I'll look. There's nothing. There's stuff in there, but not nothing you want to eat. Then you go to the refrigerator and you open it up, and somebody drinking all the milk, but just a very little bit, and the tea pitcher's empty, and the lemonade pitcher's empty, and you got good fresh water there, but there's nothing to drink. You just look around. Nothing really satisfies what you're looking for. I don't know if y'all ever do that, but sometimes I'm looking for something to eat. I don't even know what it is, but I'll know when I see it. And I'll tell Wendy sometimes, I say, baby, we're on the verge of starvation. We've got to go to the store. So the question is, if you're hungry, what do? The obvious answer is what? You go get something to eat. What about if you're cold? What do? I put my Carhartts on. I go out and work. I'll come in, and if the electric heat ain't warm enough, y'all, I've got gas logs in the living room, and I've got them in the bedroom. I'll turn them on. I'll heat that house up to 90 degrees if that's what I want, and I don't. But however warm I want it, that's what I'll get. What about if it's raining? What do? If it's raining, we cover up, we go on the inside, we get an umbrella, we get in the vehicle, we do whatever it is that we have to do to get out of the rain. What about if you're walking down a railroad track and you hear a train coming? What do? Get off the track. Why? Because there's danger coming. You know if you stay there on that track, something bad's about to happen to you. And we will all step off that track. No matter whether we're hungry, we're cold, or it's raining, or if a train's coming at us, problems is coming at us, no matter what the situation is, we're going to take care of ourselves. It's human nature. Real quick, before I close, I want to challenge you. How important is your soul to you? No matter what we've talked about this morning, your soul should be most important to you. We would get off that track if that train was coming. If we were starving, we would search for food. We would get out of the cold. We would get out of the rain. No matter what it is, we are going to fight to live. That's human nature. This morning, are you fighting for your soul? Where is your soul in relation to God? Folks, if we're here this morning, I don't mean to be ugly about this at all. I'm certainly not trying to not show love. But if this morning you're sitting in here this morning, your soul is not in the right relationship with God, bad things are going to happen. It's time to step off that track. Through your faith, your willingness to turn away from sin, confess that Jesus is Lord, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're unfaithful and you've wandered away and you're going down the wrong road, you love God, but you wandered away from God, today you can come back. You can come back to God and you can be reunited with God and you can stand with Him. The question is, how much do you love others, though? We're talking about love. The real question is, how much do for other people? This month was suggested that we talk about love, and I've tried to do that to the best of my ability. We talked about love for God. Now we're talking about all the others that we mentioned here today. How much do you love others? I suggest to me, I forgot what sermon it was. It might have been last Sunday or Sunday before last. I don't remember when it was I preached. Somebody here made a comment to me and said, you know, that was a really good sermon. It hit me. I said, it hit me all week long. I preached that sermon for me. So I want to say something before we close this morning. First of all, I beg you this morning, if you're not a Christian, to come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins. I beg you this morning, if you're unfaithful to God, that you rededicate your life to God. But then the third thing, I beg every one of us this morning to grow love. To love more. To love God more, to love each other more, to love the world and the people in the world, and show love to our fellow man. Put a smile on your face. Jacob, tell that woman that's the best corn dog you ever eat. I like to see people grin. I like people to be happy. There's a lot of sadness. This is a month of love. How much do you love God? If you need to respond, come while we stand and sing.